The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Raleigh News and Observer, Dave's Garden e-newsletter, the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, the Triangle Gardener magazine, and maybe from Garden Smarts by Shelley Goldblum. And we'll start with the Raleigh News and Observer. This article by Debbie Carlson. Avoid 5 mistakes when purchasing garden supplies. It's easy to drop serious cash in a garden supply shop, falling in love with a gorgeous yucca plant, or picking up a bunch of bargain tools. But when that sun-loving yucca dies in your shady, wet soil backyard, or that plastic-handled spade breaks the first time you used it, you've wasted money and you're frustrated. To help you avoid financial heartbreak, garden experts shared common mistakes they see new gardeners make. 1. You've neglected the soil. Joe Reboyne, National Design and Training Specialist for Bellegarde, a landscape supply firm, said that when people dig up part of their yard, install a raised bed, or build a small vertical garden, good soil will mean the difference between plants that thrive and those that wither. Plants need a foot of soil to grow properly, he said. In some yards, much of the original topsoil is gone and needs to be replaced. In raised beds, Reboyne said, people don't put enough decent soil in. They put in, let's say, a bunch of scraps or gravel or things in the bottom of the container, and it just does not give plants enough of a place to grow roots. Remedy this by buying topsoil or garden soil for yards and potting soil for raised beds and containers. 2. Choosing the wrong plants and cramming in too many. Tim Johnson, Senior Director of Horticulture at Chicago Botanic Garden, and Renee Young, Manager at Christy Weber Farm and Garden, see these mistakes a lot. Where a lot of people go wrong from the get-go is they do not know plants. You're in the garden center, and you see something in flower and beautiful, and it's like, oh, that would look great in this corner of my garden, Johnson said. But gardeners need to consider their spot's growing conditions. A plant that likes marshy conditions does not do well in dry soils. Just as a plant that wants afternoon sun might not tolerate shade. Think about your design goals, he said, and talk to the staff for advice on what plants will fulfill those dreams. If your heart is set on a flowering viburnum that can mature at 7 or 8 feet high, but you do not have the space, ask if there is a dwarf version that will look just as good. Young said she sees people stuffing too many plants into small spaces. People will want to put 3 tomatoes in a 12-inch pot, and really, 1 12-inch pot is barely big enough for 1 tomato plant, she said. A tomato plant without a roommate will likely produce more fruits than those in the overcrowded pot that will be fighting for nutrients and light, she said. 3. Buying cheap tools. Bargain tools don't last. That does not mean you have to buy the most expensive tools available, but you should invest in quality. Johnson said gardeners should pick up the tools and judge how they feel in their hands. Look for something comfortable and sturdy, he said, which may mean something different for each gardener. Good quality tools have warranties, Young said. She likes hand tools by Dutch company DeWitt, which have lifetime warranties. I try to encourage people to go with a tool that's going to last you a lifetime over something that's less expensive and may break after a couple of seasons, she said. Other brands she recommends are Corona, and for pruners, she said, they all use ones by Felco, whether at the store or on landscaping jobs. 4. You did not think about watering. Raised beds and vertical gardens, especially on rooftops, can dry out quickly. They may need daily watering, and even more when temps hit 90. Rebon and Young said you need to buy, at a minimum, a watering can and hose. Young said Bond Aeroflex makes attractive, expandable hoses that shrink for storage in small places. Rebon said another option is to install drip irrigation, either with kits such as those by DIG, or by creating your own by drilling holes in PVC pipes. Improper watering can stunt or kill plants. And 5. You're overdoing it on fertilizer or pesticides. If you are gardening to be more environmental, the last thing you want to do is waste money on expensive fertilizers, and many of these can make your plant dependent on the feedings. Synthetic can harm your plant quite a bit. If you over-fertilize, it will burn the roots of the plant, or the plant is so dependent on the synthetic fertilizer that the minute you stop using it, it begins to fail because it needs that constantly, Young said. She recommends organic fertilizers that feed the microbes and the soil, which will then, in turn, feed your plants. Johnson frowns on the year-long fertilizer programs that weed and feed lawns, such as powders or granular types in bags available at garden supply shops, noting many release unneeded chemicals. If you feel the need to treat existing insect or weed problems, he recommends using liquid sprays for spot treatments. In my mind, you should not be applying any sort of a pesticide, whether it's herbicide or insecticide, if you do not need to, he said. Now, from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, Edible Landscaping, How to Control Annual Weeds by Charlie Ndozi. Now that vegetable garden is all planted, not only are your seeded squash, cucumbers, lettuce, beans, and carrots coming up, so are the weeds. There are perennial and annual weeds in most gardens. The perennial weeds, such as dandelions and quack grass, come up every spring, usually before you even get into your garden to plant. Annual weeds, such as lamb's quarters, purslane, galansoga, and red roof pigweed, amaranth, are more opportunistic. There are literally thousands of weed seeds in most garden soils. When you disturb the soil to plant, you are bringing weed seeds to the soil surface, where light and warmth allow them to germinate. Plus, you can be bringing weed seed into your garden from compost or manures. To control perennial weeds, you need to dig them out, root and all. I won't be tackling that issue here. Annual weeds can be easier to control if you stay on top of the situation. Here are my 10 steps for controlling annual weeds in your vegetable garden. When weeding, Try not to dig deeper than a few inches into the soil to avoid bringing weed seeds to the surface to germinate. 1. Do not till. While most gardens are already planted, this is a good reminder for next year's garden and for gardeners who use a rototiller to weed between rows. The more you till, the more weed seeds are brought to the soil surface to germinate. Consider moving to a low or no-till gardening system to keep the weed seeds buried. Also, avoid adding partially decomposed manures to your garden. Some, such as horse manure, can contain lots of weed seed. 2. Identify your weed. Know the weed you're dealing with before you start pulling or hoeing. Make sure it's a weed and not one of your vegetable seedlings. 3. Weed early. If you weed early in the season, you'll have fewer problems later in the growing season. Remove annual weeds before they reach 3 inches tall. Preferably on a sunny day, using a sharp-edged hoe, gently slice the weeds just below the soil surface to kill them. The sun will help kill the weeds so they don't resprout. Slicing the weeds less than 2 inches below the surface will avoid bringing more weed seeds to the surface. 4. Grow weed-smothering crops. Some vegetables compete better with weeds than others, and once established, will be able to smother annual weeds. Crops such as tomatoes, squash, melons, potatoes, cabbage, and beans grow quickly in warm soils and can outgrow the weeds. Plus, they are large enough to shade out weeds growing later in the season. Vegetables such as lettuce, carrots, onions, and radishes do not compete well with weeds, and your yields will be reduced if you do not weed well early and often. 5. Add organic mulches. Once you've weeded a few times and your plants have germinated and are growing vigorously, consider adding an organic mulch. Organic mulches such as straw, pine straw, bark mulch, grass clippings from untreated lawns, and chopped leaves will keep the soil cool, moist, and less weedy while adding organic matter to the soil as they break down. Avoid using hay because it has weed seeds in it. Add a 2 to 3 inch thick layer of mulch around established plants. Organic mulches are best used on cool season vegetables such as broccoli, cabbage, lettuce, and peas. If you are going to use them on warm season vegetables such as tomatoes, melons, peppers, and beans, wait until the soil has warmed into the 60s before applying the mulch. 6. Add or inorganic mulch. Another way to mulch is to lay black, green, or red plastic mulch down on the beds before planting. These inorganic mulches warm the soil by 6 to 8 degrees, and by poking holes and planting right into the mulch, the roots can take advantage of the warm soil and the plants will grow faster. They also keep the weeds from germinating. It is best to run a soaker hose or drip irrigation line under the plastic mulch to keep the plants well watered. Most plastic mulches can be reused for 2 to 3 years if you're careful when pulling them up in fall. 7. Mulch pathways. There's no reason to be weeding pathways. Pathways between rows of crops can be mulched at planting with any material that will prevent weed growth. Cardboard, bark mulch, straw, even old rugs can be used to stop weed growth. Some of the heavier materials, such as cardboard and old rugs, will not break down quickly and may need to be removed come fall. 8. Do not let weeds go to seed. Weed plants can reproduce prolifically. For example, one plant of red root pigweed can produce more than 100,000 seeds in one season. If you get behind in your weeding, at least cut them down to prevent weed seeds from forming. 9. Grow cover crops. If you are battling lots of annual weeds in your garden, consider growing a cover crop to smother them and add organic matter to the soil. Buckwheat is a fast-growing cover crop that will smother weeds. Consider planting winter rye in the fall, then turning it under in spring. The residue has been known to reduce pigweed, purslane, and lamb's quarter seed germination rates by 75%. And finally, 10. Eat your weeds. Weeds aren't all bad. After all, the definition of a weed is a plant growing in the wrong place. Many weeds are edible and taste great. Harvest lamb's quarters, purslane, and pigweed when they are young and add them to salads. Mix chickweed in with basil and parsley to make a great pesto. And now from Dave's Garden e-newsletter. Use these herbs to keep annoying pests at bay. By Laura Foreman. Keep pests away by planting these herbs around your home and property. Spring may be the time for flowers and sunshine, but it's also the time for pests. Mosquitoes, fleas, flies, and other creeper crawlers appear on the scene and multiply like crazy. They seem to be everywhere. There are a few ways to keep these pesky bugs at bay without having to resort to harmful chemicals. By planting certain herbs around your deck and yard, you can help prevent the insects from invading. Much like you may have an aversion to certain foods, many insects have an aversion to certain plants. Often, these plants emit strong scents. Planting several of these together, you'll increase your chances of driving annoying insects like mosquitoes away. In addition to planting these herbs, crushing their fragrant flowers or leaves in your hands and rubbing them on your skin also helps. The scent should keep insects away from you as you enjoy your time outside, whether gardening or relaxing in the yard. Some plants will grow better in your yard than others, depending on their sun and moisture preferences and your area's hardiness zone. However, many of these plants will also grow well in pots. What to plant? Lavender is a beautiful shrub known for its fragrant purple spikes. It's also known to repel flies, mosquitoes, and other insects. Plant at least one lavender plant near each of your home's entryways and windows to keep the bugs out. Since the scent is pleasing to humans and it's nice to look at, you may not be able to stop at planting just one. Clip the flowers and place them in bunches around your home to repel the insects inside, too. Basil is not only delicious in many dishes, but it also helps repel mosquitoes and houseflies. Its strong scent is thought to be the cause of its repellent powers. Crush the leaves in your hands and rub them over your skin to give some level of mosquito protection when out in the garden. Plant near tomatoes and other crops to keep them pest-free. Mint not only repels mosquitoes, but thought to repel mice. If you include it in your garden, grow it in a pot. It's been known to spread and can easily take over your yard if you're not careful. It's a great companion plant and can keep harmful bugs from infesting your garden. Lemon balm has also been known to repel mosquitoes. Plant in pots near your doorways. You can crush a few leaves up and rub them on your skin before heading outside. Since it's part of the mint family, it's best to keep it in pots to prevent it from taking over the garden. Lemongrass oil is extremely effective against mosquitoes. The plant itself is a fragrant, ornamental annual grass growing well in sunny locations. Rosemary repels mosquitoes. It can be grown in ground or planted in large containers around the house, and it's easy to propagate from a cutting. Bay leaves help repel flies. Grow bay in the ground or in a pot on your deck. Pick a few leaves off if you need a little pest control inside. Pennyroyal makes an ideal ground cover, and it repels mosquitoes, ticks, flies, and gnats. Crush it up to release the scent that averts these pests. It can quickly become invasive, so consider growing it in a pot or installing a border around it to prevent it from spreading. Marigolds have long been used as a companion plant. Their scent tends to repel many insects, among them mosquitoes. Plant in window boxes or in pots near your door. Geraniums, particularly the lemon-scented ones, do a good job of keeping pests away. Plant in pots near your doors or windows to enjoy both their brilliant color and pest-averting characteristics. Other things to do. If mosquitoes are a big issue in your yard, eliminate standing water. Mosquitoes love moisture and breed wherever water collects. Additionally, try to keep the area outside the foundation of your home free of debris. Many insects and critters hide in the mulch and debris piled there. If you burn wood in the fireplace during winter, make sure your wood storage area is located away from the entrance to your home to prevent an infestation. And now, some garden events in the Triangle Gardener magazine. Make a hypertufa planting trough, July the 21st, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Hypertufa troughs were developed in England as an alternative to old stone sinks used to feed and water livestock. They provide excellent drainage and can highlight those special small plants you have. Participants mix the ingredients, build a container, and learn how to release a finished container from its mold. There is a fee and you need to pre-register. This happens at Lasting Impressions in Raleigh. Call 919-614-0109 for more information. And a Ginkgo crafting workshop, July the 21st, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, or from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Grafting is the only method possible to propagate some plants. In this workshop, participants learn to graft ginkgos from two experts. Tim and Matt Nichols will discuss and demonstrate grafting techniques, and then will individually assist each participant as they graft their own plants. There is a fee, and you need to pre-register. This happens at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Raleigh. Call 919-513-7005. 919-513-7005 for further information. And make a concrete garden mushroom, July the 21st, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Create an everlasting garden mushroom in this new and exciting workshop. Participants will create either a large hypertufa mushroom or five small mushrooms for their garden. There is a fee and you need to pre-register. This happens at Lasting Impressions in Raleigh. Call 919-614-0109 for more information. From seed to sapling and beyond, the history and future of the North Carolina Botanical Garden. This happens July the 22nd from 2:30 to 4 p.m. Join NCBG Director Damon Waite and special guests for a presentation and panel discussion celebrating the past, present, and future of the North Carolina Botanical Garden. The program will recreate garden history through the lens of the plants and people that make the garden what it is today and what it aspires to be in the future. There's a fee, and you do need to pre-register. This happens at the North Carolina Botanical Garden in Chapel Hill. Call 919-962-0522. 919-962-0522 for further information. And a gardener's fair. Durham Garden Forum, July the 24th, from 6:30 p.m. until 8 p.m. This gardener's fair will feature area experts and garden suppliers. Sponsored in partnership with the North Carolina Cooperative Extension, Durham County Center. The Durham Garden Forum meets once a month to enrich its members' gardening knowledge and skill, and it's free. This happens at the Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. For more information, call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707. And Music in the Gardens, Las Cafeteras, July the 25th at 7 p.m. Join us Wednesday evenings for Duke Performance's Music in the Gardens Summer Concert Series. Lawn chairs, picnics, and blankets are encouraged. Dogs are not allowed. Food and beverages, including beer and wine, will be available for purchase. And there is a fee. This happens at Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. For more information, call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707. And coming up, July the 28th, Hummingbird Day and Plant Clinic, July the 28th, at the Big Bloomers Flower Farm in Sanford. For more information, call 919-776-6597. 919-776-6597. And Yoga in the Garden, July 18th and the 25th. Grab your yoga mat and rejuvenate at a peaceful yoga session in the beautiful orangery. This happens at the Cape Fear Botanical Garden in Fayetteville. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until the next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.